Welcome to the Martial Arts Business Podcast, helping martial arts club owners grow, develop, and scale their schools with marketing, retention, systems, staff, branding, social media, and much more, giving you the tools and skills to become a black belt in business. Here's your host, 3 times world martial arts champion, award-winning school owner, successful business coach, and number one best-selling author, Gordon Burcham.
Hi, and welcome to a new episode of the Martial Arts Business Podcast. And today we have an absolute blinder of a podcast. No doubt it's going to be an absolute whirlwind of a journey. So I've known this guy for a fair few years now. We've been part of a business mastermind together, and I've seen what he has done in his business is incredible, and the amount of people that he helps is insane. And actually, I seen this gentleman on a video before I even met him. That was a viral video. I think it was Facebook that went viral, which is an incredible video. And it's interesting how I watched it. I thought, wow, it encapsulated me. But, and I watched the whole video through. I can't remember how long. I'm sure he will share this. And it was just it's amazing to see him on that video and then meeting him and then knowing him for years. He's an incredible guy who's going to blow your socks off. Welcome to the Martial Arts Business Podcast. The awesome Mr. Paul More.
You're living in Marbella, you've got a 4-bedroom villa, everything's good, everything's great, but you weren't feeling good inside. There's something missing. What do you feel was missing at that point? What do you feel? Because you feel like, see, the outside world, my guess is everyone's going, man, Paul, you're fucking living the dream here. What's going on?
From the outside in, I was. I had everything that I thought I ever wanted, except when I set those goals when I was 21, it didn't feel anything like what I thought it would. There's a couple of things happening there. I did not end up on those cliffs by accident. That wasn't an accident. That was more of a consequence. Clearly, I was doing things. I was partaking in things physically and mentally that were habitual that led me there, right? Mm-hmm. Show me your habits and I'll show you your future. On that note, I had no compelling vision of my future, so I had no sense of purpose anymore. Think about it. I've set these goals when I've left school. I've set these goals when I've started my business. I've hit them. I've got to the top of the ladder. And then that's it. What else is there after that? Many people that I've spoken to, likes of Ant Middleton, James Haskell, Tyson Fury, they've had the same thing. They've hit the pinnacle. What now? What's next? So what then starts happening is, if I think about that, where I place my attention is where I place my energy. I was placing my attention on my past, on what I didn't like, on what wasn't working, on all the things I was terrible at. But, and I'd stop. I think men need a mission. I've never been a woman, so I can't speak for women. Men need a mission. We need something to get stuck into. We need something to move towards that compels us to do something different. So I'd say that I was lacking a sense of purpose. And of course, to make up for that sense of purpose, that compelling vision of the future, I was doing anything I could to make myself feel better. And ultimately, that wanting to feel better there and then, that instant gratification, there was a downside to that that I wasn't aware of, because I just blamed bipolar. Oh, I drink and do coke because I've got bipolar. It's bullshit, man. So there's the main thing, though, was that lack of purpose, lack of mission. I was just wandering through life, going around in circles. And when you go around in circles, you always end up back in the same place.
I love this because there were so many people on the planet in exactly the same position as you were. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, how old were you then, Paul? How old were you?
34. 34 I was.
Yeah. And then you start to overthink, and I totally understand the habitual cycle, drugs, drink, etc. The instant high and the massive low.
I'd even say there was a little sense of boredom as well, because I'd built everything that I thought I ever wanted. I'd built kind of the 4-hour work week. That business was legit. I was in a 4-hour work week, living in a country where I didn't know anybody, right? Which is crazy because, and I tell this story and people don't really get it. You know, in business and entrepreneurship and in personal development, we're always told, oh, cut out all the negative people from your life. Get rid of all the toxic people. Surround yourself. I'm like, well, what I realized is I cut so many people out of my life because they were negative that there was only me left. Looking at myself in the mirror, hating myself, thinking, where are all the fucking people gone? Well, I'd cut them all out because they were negative. But then I'm like, okay, me realization was then, I was, okay, if they're negative, what does that make me? If I think that they're negative, what does that make me? Well, surely I'm having negative thoughts about people. So what I've realized, the people love to complain, and that includes all of our gurus. They all love to complain as well. So I let people complain. I was convinced that do you know one of these people? Oh, I hate people, me. I'm antisocial. No, you're not. Yeah, I didn't hate anybody. I hated myself. That was the problem.
What a realization. That is unbelievable,
huge,
right?
Yeah, huge.
Massive, massive realization. So when did you end up on the end of the cliff?
December 2014. So in the May that year, my daughter was born. I struggled even more after that because you think about this, I've got my wife, we've got a two-year-old, my son Max, who's now 13, which is wild, and we've got my daughter Nina, newborn. So that's a challenge for my wife, Leslie. And you know Leslie, like she's a strong, she's a very powerful woman. But dealing with a 34-year-old child, a newborn, and a two-year-old, it was too much, mate. So, yeah, like I say, when we got home in the after May, I was like, and Leslie must have been relieved because now she's got a mum and my mum helping out. The problem that I had was that I was the biggest problem. So, yeah, December, it all came to a halt. Leslie said, well, there's two things happened. In that December, on that cliff, when I said no one would even care if I killed myself, she said, think of the kids. And I've actually had this, right before this podcast, I had a conversation with someone that was suicidal on the phone. And he's the same. Think, oh, they'll get over it. They'll miss me, but they'll get over it. And I'm like, bro, are you fucking serious? And she said to me, well, think of the kids then growing up as those kids whose dad killed himself. And I was like, they're going to have to live with that forever. So that was transformative for me because when I was that low, guess who the only person I was thinking of? Me. Because depression and even anxiety are very insular. They're very insular. We're thinking only of ourselves. And that seems like we're being, but that's the truth. I'm thinking only of myself, how bad things are for me, how bad things are, how shit I am, how useless I am, how I made that mistake, how I can't get better, how I'm full of excuses and all that. That was me. So she said those words. And then I was like, actually, my kids would have to deal with that for the rest of their life. And then on Christmas Day that year, Gordon, I was on suicide watch. That basically means people have to come and sit with you to make sure you don't kill yourself, right? And Christmas Day, the suicide watch team, one of the ladies was called Donna. She ended up like supervising me for quite a long time. This is mad. I was at home with Donna and another bloke. My kids and my wife weren't even with me on Christmas Day because I was so volatile to be around. I was just like, I want to be on my own. And then this lady, Donna, should have looked at me. I'd actually been, this is mad. I was suicidal on the 19th. On Christmas Eve, I still drank and snorted coke. Still drank. I still did that, even though I was fucking rock bottom. So I was like, oh, I wasn't willing to accept that this was the problem. Like, oh, well, that's just it's what people do in the Northeast. You drink and you get on the sniff. It's what you do. Especially when you start making money, it's even more acceptable when you've made a bit of money. Of course I'm going to get 3 for 100. Of course I am. In fact, I'll pay 150 for three. I just can't because I can. That was me, right? It's embarrassing when I think about it. But on that Christmas Day, she looked at me. She didn't even say anything. She looked at me over the top of her glasses where she was almost like, really? And the look of was one of this. And she actually said these words to me. She looked at me over the top of the glasses like my mom used to when I was at school, like disappointed. And then I was like, oh, shit. And then she basically said, if you don't get your shit together, you're going to die. And that was another, and I had two wake-up calls in a week. And that was, those two things were the ones that lit a fire in my ass. And it wasn't easy. And coming off bipolar medication is no fucking joke. I had to get my bloods taken every week for like 6 months because if you just stop taking those meds, you die. Which is a bit fucked up. If you ask, you legit die because your liver can't handle the load. It's crazy. So yeah, it's been quite the ride, Gordon.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, inspiration, like where you are right now and what I've seen you do. And I'd love to come to your purpose now because, you know, for me, like I've seen you evolve and, you know, you are always outstanding on stage.
Thank you,
your purpose and mission to serve it is right up there. You know, your energy is infectious. People say that about me, but you're at that, a huge level in your, you know exactly where you're going. It always feels like you know exactly your purpose. I love, and some of the things you've not even shared here, we could probably delve into in a minute, but your purpose now. So where you are right now, and we hear all that. And by the way, what is inspiration if you're listening to this right now, because I want to share this. Like, there are so many men who feel like you felt then, 100%. I hear this a lot, by the way. And in the martial, we're on the Martial Arts Business Podcast now, right? You're under no illusion here. There are so many martial artists, and I'm sure you'll know this anyway, Paul, that are so suicidal or they are so
In jiu-jitsu especially, this is weird. I understand men, right? Because I've worked with thousands, 4,000 men I've worked with, right? So I know a bit. Right. I've been a man myself for nearly 44 years. So I've been a man for quite a long time, so I get it. But when we go to jiu-jitsu, I can look at somebody and tell that they have challenges with their mental health. So much so that we have this little pact inside. If someone disappears for a few weeks, we're like, hit him up and ask him why he's not coming to class. Because jiu-jitsu especially, it's weird because it's not really an aggressive sport, but a lot of guys go to it because they have challenges with their mental health. So therefore, in our group, we're like, if he stops coming, he's gone back to what he was doing before. So there's that. Anyway, so my purpose right now, I suppose my number one purpose is to lead from the front, set an example, be the example. And actually, it doesn't stem from my desire to help men. It's actually stems from a desire to show my kids how to operate. That's the first thing. My job as a man and as a dad is to show my kids how to operate, not tell them, show them. And then that gets passed on. Like, I'm trying not to preach to people. I'm just like, well, if you want some of, when I'm selling something, Gordon, this is mad, right? So, you know, I have free books, I have free courses, I put out a lot of free content, and then I charge for my profession. I get a lot of shit for it as well. People come at me like they go to work for free. I'm like, mate, this is my profession. This is my profession. It's how I make a living. It's what I've invested hundreds of thousands of pounds into and years and years and years doing. Why would I give any more of my time away for free? Anyway, when I'm selling to men or when I'm talking about my program, I'm just like, if you want to feel like this, never mind the business, never mind the relationships. If you want to feel like this, whatever this is, I can show you how to do it. That's my ultimate thing. So my second purpose is I do not want men and particularly their families to go through what I went through and what I put my family through. And I want men to feel like I feel and have the impact on the people around them that I have on the people around me. That's ultimately it. But yeah. I think there's something that I didn't touch on that you mentioned. You didn't actually mention that, but when you brought up men, this narrative of just talk does my fucking head in. That is not the answer. What does talking do? It doesn't cook rice, does it? Talking doesn't submit anybody. So now, let me caveat that with maybe it's a start. Maybe it's a catalyst. But maybe it's the thing that puts men off making any changes. Maybe it's the thing that puts them off because what do you talk about what? Who to? What if they react in a different way? I already feel like a burden. If I start talking about my problems, it's going to be even more of a burden. My wife's going to think it's her fault. I didn't realize this, mate, but when I wrote my first book, my wife ended up doing like a foreword. And she said, and I didn't even know this, mate, until you're talking 5 years after it happened. She said she felt like a shit wife. And that's making me emotional just saying that. And I was like, actually, it was nothing to do with her. And that's why men won't talk. So I'm like, we need to look at some other things first before we start talking about it. Like, it's clearly not working, this message, is it? The suicide rate's going up, not down, despite there being more support available than ever, despite there being more people and places and clubs and support groups, despite there being more of those than ever to talk, nothing's changing.
I love that.
The support is going up and the suicide rates are going up with it.
So true, because it's like I'm always about like we're a human being, right? Who are we being today, right? And I love what you said, where you said you're leading from the front,
yeah.
And what you said about your children. Now, very often, I'm a big believer in this, and it's just my own philosophy. Yeah. Men, essentially, their passion is, well, not their passion, their being is to provide and protect. That's what they feel inherently, what they want to do. Provide for their family, when they can protect them. Everything else they leave themselves aside. They don't put nothing to them. If they're providing and protecting, however, as we all know, if you've not got enough oxygen in your soul, you're not going to be able to provide and protect, right? Hence why there's a lot of this happens with men. And it is very, very, and this is why you do such wonderful work, Paul. Like, you really go into, you'll go into deep depths, don't you? You're not surface level talk. Yeah, like you say,
I haven't got that in me, mate. I'm not the small talk guy.
You're straight in there, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And what I love, like, for my kids, I always say is this: don't listen to what someone says, listen to what they do.
Yep.
And it's what they're doing on a daily basis. And you are definitely leading the charge here.
I try my best, mate. I'm not perfect. I'm human. Sometimes I fuck up. Sometimes I lose my temper. Sometimes I tell someone to go fuck themselves. Mm. But the thing is, I'll share that as well. Like, there's something very empowering that makes you feel invincible when you have nothing to hide. Like, there is nothing anyone can say about me that I haven't already said. There's nothing anyone can think about me that I haven't already thought about myself. And I'm like, is that it? Like, come at me with what you want to say about me, because I've already said it to myself. I've already called myself that name, mate.
I've heard you say this before, and I absolutely love it.
This is why you can't touch me. Your criticism cannot touch me, because I am a bigger critic of me than you are of me. Trust me.
And by the way, anyone listening to this right now, as you're listening to this, and I know there'll be lots that will resonate with you, Paul, 100% right now. listen to what Paul is saying. He's owning it. You know, absolute extreme ownership, 100%.
Yeah.
And the reality is this. In your head, you're dead. We all know that philosophy, right? And that's the challenge. That's where Paul was in his fucking head. When he steps outside of his head right now, based on all the things that he's learned and where he's grown, etc., he probably looks back at that person and wonders who the fuck that was, right?
Yeah.
Who is that person?
I tried to think my way out of things. I couldn't think my way out of depression. I couldn't think my way out of anxiety. I couldn't think my way out of bipolar. Yes, your thinking is important, but it doesn't. There's not that much that changes as a result of trying to think your way out of stuff. There has to be some level of action. There has to be some level of. There has to be some shift.
And that's what I want to ask you now. And this is brilliant. So, based on talking's not really going to help. It's a good starting point. But what would you say, like, based on your and not just for you, your transformation, but the transformation you make in so many men's lives around the world, right? Please share with us like just a couple of things that you believe can help people put them on the right track or at least give them a kickstart. What do you think is important?
So I have this concept that I call blissipline, right? Which is having the discipline to put your focus and attention on things that make you feel good, right? Blissipline. Because what I focus on grows. Where I place my attention is where I place my energy. What I add attention to, I add momentum to. Now, most people are putting their attention, which basically means watching, thinking, reading, and talking about things that make them feel like shit. They're talking about or they're thinking about, and again, reading about, watching about, right, whatever it is, all of that focus and attention, pondering on all of that. They're putting it on what they don't want, how they wish things were different, all of the mistakes they've made, what's gone wrong, what could go wrong, what they're not very good at, what they're shit at, and all the people that they don't like. So they're thinking about that, and then they're wondering why they are feeling like that. You can change the way you feel by thought alone. That's incredible. You can, and you think about this, where do you feel feelings? In your body. Think about this for a second. I can change the way that I feel by thought alone, right? Which is, I know I've just said you can't think your way out of problems, but you have to start with this. So I make a point of focusing on this, right? The things that make you feel good or what? Focusing on what you want rather than what you don't want. Focusing on what's working, not on what's not working. Focusing on what you're good at, not what you're not so good at. Focusing on the people that you love versus the people that you hate. Like, this is just a simple shift. And we do this through setting goals that compel you to move forward. Setting goals that excite you. Setting goals that seem beyond your current level of ability. Setting goals that require you to become who you are now. Essentially, creating that sense of purpose. Because a lot of people get caught up in they get so caught up in looking for the purpose that they miss it. Because I'm just like, what if purpose isn't what you were born to do? What if it was just a feeling? And that feeling comes from having something to move towards, having a destination in mind that excites you, that challenges you, that scares you a little bit, that maybe impacts other people as well. So there's some level of contribution. So this concept of discipline, focusing on what you want, focusing on what's working, what you're good at, what you're achieving, what wins you've got, how you want to feel versus how you don't want to feel, all of that stuff. So that's the first thing we start with is, okay, people come to me telling me how they don't want to feel. And I'm like, well, what do you want? That's the first thing. If you don't know what you want, of course you're going to go around in circles. Because it's like, imagine going to the train station and saying, I would like a ticket, please. And the guy behind the counter, I mean, this is not really even a thing anymore. Or getting in a taxi and the taxi driver saying, where do you want to go? And you saying, not here. That's what people do. Whenever someone calls me, I'm like, well, what do you want? Don't know. Therefore, you're going to get what you don't want, aren't you? So they get it. They're literally on a taxi, in a taxi to nowhere, going around in circles and always ending up home. So we just get clear on this, the vision of the future that compels them to do something different. Not talk about the past all the time that they can't change. It's what I see all the time. I can always tell when guys have came to me and I'm not labeling all therapists and counseling the same. But what you tend to do is talk about your past and do nothing different. That's all you do. Talk about your past as if you can change it. And I'm a big fan of changing the frame. I'm a big fan of getting the lesson and seeing, well, what are the upsides as a result of that? What's happened that's good as a result of that happening? But obsessing about your past doesn't fucking change it. So my first shift is getting people to focus on the future. That's, do you know what I mean? And I get a lot of guys come to me about therapy and counseling. And it's like they know the story off by heart. It's like they've got a fucking script.
Like they're proud of it as well sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, it gives them our identity, doesn't it? 100%. Yep. I absolutely know that you are the creator, as we all know, right?
Yep.
And you're creating it through your thoughts and your feelings on a daily basis. And, yep. You know, I would say the most important story is the one you continue to tell yourself every single day.
Yeah.
Make sure it's a good story, not a horrible one. You know, that's what people
and you can write. And that's the thing about focusing on the future. That's a new story.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? The old one, I can't. Or are you going to go back, go on and change it? You can't. Yes.
I love that, by the way.
The way you feel about it, but I think repeating it over and over again never really makes you feel any better about it anyway.
Interesting enough, that's what therapists say. You go back, let's go back and let's dig into that. Well, hold on a minute, your conscious awareness, that makes no sense whatsoever. Absolutely. And by the way, moving forwards, being positive, thinking about all of the things that we can do. I always say that, imagine if I was a genie, where would you like to be? And I say, this is that. I say, great, congratulations, you're the fucking genie. Like, you are the genie. You are the creator. So I think
you get as many wishes as you want.
That's absolutely. Whatever you want. Yeah. Absolutely. I love that. So that's number one. So start with that. What else? Just give us one more.
Let's have a look at your environment. And I mean, physically, environment. So if you're saying you're going off the booze, but your house is full of booze. But what I mean by your environment is like your palate. What are you watching? And is it in line with your past or your future? What are you reading? And is it in line with your past or your future? Who are you listening to? Who are you talking to? Who are you spending time with? All of that matters, because environment trumps willpower. Because willpower always expires. People are... they're trying to create this new future, but they're surrounded by people that are obsessed with their past. That's what they're doing, right? I'm like, get it on the table. Get in the room where people are excited about the future rather than talking shit about other people. That's what happens in the world. So clean up your palette. Clean up what you watch. Clean up what you watch. Clean up what you read. Clean up the groups you're in. Like, being in a group. I remember this. When I was struggling with anxiety, I was in an anxiety support group. Guess all everyone talked about?
Anxiety.
The very thing that I'm trying to move on from. The very thing. That's a lot. And again, I'm not slating all the mental health groups, but I'm like, okay, let's start a mental health group where people feel sorry for themselves, but then other people feel sorry for themselves, for them as well. And I'm an empathetic guy. I couldn't do what I do if I didn't, but I'm like, we need to change the fucking narrative here. So that's all to do with your focus. So that's the second thing. You've got to clean up your environment. You've got to if your environment is in competition with your goals, you're only left with willpower. And willpower has an expiry date. Eventually, that's going to break. It's just a matter of time before you've got no willpower left, because you will want to fit in with your environment. So your peers matter, what you watch. Like, if you're trying to build a business and you're trying to get into an abundant mindset, but you pay attention to anything that Martin Lewis says, you will never have an abundant mindset. He is a scaremongering cunt. Said it. It's true, right? Tell me he's not.
Of course he is.
If I watch him, I would be convinced that there's no money in the world. Yet, the facts are, there's never been as much money in the world, ever.
Yes.
40% of all money has been printed in the last 3 years. But Martin Lewis will try and convince us that no one's got any money. Yet, I will have a meeting here, and all I see is, we had a record month this month, record quarter. Oh, we've got clients coming in from everywhere. Because I don't pay attention to that. Now, I'm not denying that there are money problems in the world. I'm seeing hospitality especially is fucked. I've seen my favorite restaurant close down. But at the same time, I've been trying to get a booking in a restaurant in Copenhagen for 18 months. I can't get a booking. It's £600 a head. I can't get in. Do you get what I'm saying? Maybe it's just because they don't
Paul, I absolutely love what you're saying here. You know, the searching you will find. The question is, what are you searching for? And that's exactly what you're talking about here.
Yeah.
Like, you get what you're searching for. And what you're talking about here is changing what you're looking for, changing your environment, of course, changing what you're looking for, focusing on all that's great, all that's good. People say, it's all positivity. Well, you're either positive or negative. Which one fucking suits you best? What are you looking for? Like, there's, to change the story, you've got to change what you're thinking. 100%.
If you want to change the output, you've got to change the input.
100%.
Most people are trying to change their output, but their input's the same. They're in all the Mate, honestly, if I paid attention, this is going to sound harsh on me best friends. I'm in a WhatsApp group with me best friends since I was a teenager, right? All that I see in there is what pint they're drinking, right? I'm seeing what their accumulator is for the weekend and leaked OnlyFans pictures. That's all I see. And I'm like, if I'm in a group like that and that's all I'm looking at, guess what I'm going to want to do? I'm going to want to drink pints. I'm going to want to put bets on, and I'm going to want to look at girls with everything out.
Yeah. Got it. I love that. So I've got a question for you, because we could just talk for hours here. Someone said, like, how long does it take, do you believe, and the people that you've worked with, Paul, because you've worked with so many of them now, who are in the fucking most depressed state, they're feeling shit about themselves, they're feeling like they're not achieving, self-worth, like, i.e. you on the edge of that cliff, to actually making a massive difference in your life, to thinking better, clearer, and moving towards your goal? How long does it take, really, within your program?
It can be instant. Can be instant. Once somebody understands that this is a forever job, it's not a 28 days and done, it's not a 90 days and done, this is forever. Do you know what I mean? I'm almost like in a place right now where a lot of things that I look at, I'm like, if I can't see myself doing this in a year's time, I'm not even going to get started, because I know myself so well that I'm not going to do any fucking carnivore diet or any keto diet or any 75 hard, because, again, I've got a lot of respect for people, or a 72-hour water fast. Like, life's too short for that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, if I can't see myself doing it in a year's time, I'm not going to... It's like we're convinced, right, Gordon? And this is off topic, but we've been convinced and conditioned by the world, specifically since, like, military people have kind of stepped into the limelight, right, that in order to have a life you love, you've got to keep doing things that you hate. I'll never get the logic in trying to force ourselves to do things that we hate and then hating ourselves for not doing them. I don't get it, right? And yes, you have to suck it up sometimes. Yes, you have to eat shit sometimes. Yes, you have to do... I actually think that doing difficult things is how you get confidence. People want to feel confident, they want to have self-belief, but they never do anything hard. But there's a place for, you can love something and find it hard. Jiu-jitsu, prime example. You can love business, you can love it and find it hard. But hating it and finding it hard, recipe for fucking disaster. You cannot have a life you love consistently doing things that you love.
Yeah, I love that. So you think instantly, they can change instantly.
They can change instantly. You think about this, Gordon. Sometimes you hear one sentence and it changes the direction of your life forever. That one with Leslie, for example. Think about the kids. That was when my should do's became must do's. Another thing that I heard from Tony Robbins back in the day, you don't catch depression. It's not contagious. You create it. Now, that triggers so many people. It triggered me. But then when I thought about it, I was like, well, that's quite exciting. If I've created this, what else can I create? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That was one that just... And then another one, Byron Katie. I remember this was in 2014. Someone recommended a book called Loving What Is, right? This book changed my life. I ended up spending 9 days with her in Germany in 2015. And it was the first sentence, mate, the first sentence in this book was, when you argue with reality, you lose, but only 100% of the time. And that took a little bit of while to sink in, but that changed the course. Those little sentences can just become imprinted in your head. When I realized that, I've got another one, everyone's trying their best. That's what I'd call a phrase. I think we all have these phrases that we fall back on and you remember. And you're like, oh shit, you've said a few already. One quote can change the direction of somebody's life. Be an example, not a warning. There's another one. Like all these things that you can, they can change your direction instantly. They can make you feel different instantly.
I love it. The reason I asked this question, Paul, I love it. It's so long, it's unbelievable, right? But
I suppose the answer is, so they can change instantly and they can change how momentous it, so they're at the inside job forever. So it can either be there when they wake up or when they die, they could still be, you got to still be doing it all. Instantly and maybe never.
Maybe never,
maybe never.
Because some of you guys, anyone who's listening to this right now, and the reason I asked that question is very, very purposeful, was because when you're in a negative state, when you're in a depressed state, or you're in a flat state, or you're not feeling great. Now, if you're listening to this well and you're not that person, congratulations, but there's many that are. And if you are that person, guess what? You feel there's no way out. You feel it's going to take forever. You can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I want you to listen to Paul right now, instant. And all you've got to be is around the right way. Listen to
Paul. Do you know what's weird, Gordon? Do you know when people say, how long does it take to change? I'm like, well, how long did it take you to get depressed? You're not counting those days, are you? But here's an interesting point. So I'm in discussions with a couple of publishers right now. And I remember when I did my last book with Harper Collins, And I remember finishing the book, and the lady that was working on the production of the audio, she said, Paul, do you think you'll ever end up back on the cliff? And she was surprised because I said yes. I said, I will end up back on the cliff if I stop doing what I do now and I start doing what I did then.
Yes.
She was like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So well, that's the fucking
mic. That's a fucking mic drop right there. Let me tell you why. Because it encapsulates everything we're talking about, about you create it. Like, and what I love about, and this is what I said, guys, you listen to here, listen to Paul's ownership of this.
Yeah.
Not, I'll never be there again. Yes, I will get on the edge of that fucking cliff. Of course I will. If I carry on, I went back to the habits I had before and the mindset before, yes, I can.
Because it wasn't a coincidence, Gordon. It was a consequence. It wasn't a coincidence. It was a consequence.
I love that. Complete ownership. So here's the thing I want to share with you guys as you're listening to Paul now. You are where you are because of you. That's going to be fucking scary shit to hear. Some of you are going to want to punch this fucking screen or whatever you're listening to right now. But you're where you are right now because of you. Now, this is extreme ownership. Now, when you take and listen to everything that Paul has said, if that is true, and by the way, most people don't like this because you have to look deep within, right? But if you are, if you take full responsibility for everything in your life, now you can change it. And that's what Paul was saying here. You can change it. You can't when you're blaming, when you're playing the blame game all the time.
When you blame, things stay the same.
Of course, absolutely.
When you blame, things stay the same.
Incredible. Paul, what an amazing podcast this will be for many people. Now, I know we could carry on for hours here. We'll probably get you back to part two for sure. But what is, like, where can people reach out? Because there is going to be loads of people in my community around the world who are going to be feeling shit. Some of them might be on the edge of that cliff. Some of them might just be feeling so low. I can think of 10 people immediately, right, who will be listening to this podcast. So, number one is, where can they reach you?
Go on Audible, get my last book. It's £8. It's incredible. It's called Paul Mort Will Save Your Life. And the best place to kind of talk to me and banter with me is always Instagram. Like, I love Instagram. It's fun. I can curate the platform so it's not shit. I have a lot of fun on there. You'll see me how to deal with trolls and haters. That's one of my favorite things to do. Have fun with those. Facebook, I'm on as well, but I kind of, I'll be honest with you, I just use that for marketing because Facebook's a fucking cesspit. That's where I actually get all of my content from, for Instagram, because that's where I get the most Audible comments. Instagram
and,
or Audible.
And what do you offer? Because there'll be people who want to reach out to you. So just give me an idea on this podcast. What do you offer to help men who are in severe pain, who need help?
So here's where I'm at right now. I've actually closed everything down, except I have a program called Unstoppable Alliance, where I work with men for 12 months who are ready to get to the next level in their business without losing their shit. Getting to the next level in the business is actually not that complicated, but it is if you think you have to sacrifice everything in order to do it. I made that mistake as well. I sacrificed everything to build my business, my mental health, my physical health, almost my marriage, all of my friendships. I sacrificed my hobbies. I sacrificed going to football. And then I realized that actually you don't have to. So that's, Alliance is a program for men that are looking to unlock the next level of their business without losing their shit. And I'm not working with anybody for less than 12 months at the minute.
I would say to you guys, follow Paul on the internet. By the way, subscribe to his email list if you're still going. I mean, he's
still on the emails.
Still emailing every day, right? Yeah. Okay, all of that. And follow him. If you get a chance to, he speaks on stages all over the country. He spoke at MabEx. He was incredible. Sold out that theatre, which was insane, by the way.
Wow, mate, it is. 1,000 people in a theatre is quite mad, isn't it?
That is fucking insane. Unbelievable. Well,
I'll share a little secret with you. I've just booked a 2,000 seater.
Of course you have. What a winner. Of course you have.
I'm just panicking about whether I can fill it now, but that's my...
Of course you can. Oh, by the way, you are the creator, right?
I am the creator. If I can't fill it, the fuck's going to do it?
Paul, you've been an absolute legend, as you already are. Thank you so much. Take care, brother. Much love to you. That's the family. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Martial Arts Business Podcast. You can follow Gordon personally on Facebook at Black Belt in Business. Also, join our free Facebook group, Martial Arts Business Mastery Community, for some great advice, tips, and support on building your martial arts empire. Keep learning, developing, and growing, and you will become a black belt in business.